Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me here today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. And all of our programming is available in podcast form at those locations or wherever you like to get your podcasts. When Christ first came to this earth as a human being to be a sacrifice, many people at that time did not believe that he was, in fact, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But there were ample Old Testament prophecies which identified Christ at his first coming. And yet many people did not believe, especially the religious leaders of the day. People just didn't believe what Christ said. That's similar today. Christ's words are recorded for us to understand, and yet many people do not believe them. Christ, when he was here as a human, he had to deal with the doubts of the religious leaders of his day. And you can notice this in Matthew 16. We have a few passages today, so if you have a Bible handy, it'd be good to get it out. We can look at some of these together. Matthew 16 and verse 1, it says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven." So, of course, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were often tempting Christ, trying to trick him, trying to get him off balance and discredit him, and they were never able to do so. And in this case, they said, well, show them a sign. They wanted to know, show us a sign. In verse 2, he answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times?" So if you think about weather forecasters today, most times they do a pretty good job of knowing what the weather will do a day or so in advance. They don't always get it right, but they're often fairly close, give you a good idea of what's coming. And so they look at patterns, they look at data, and they often can discern the sky. They put a lot into trying to discern what the weather is going to be. A lot of effort goes into their studying of weather, trying to understand it. And people in Christ's day, they could discern the direction of the weather. They knew roughly what it would be. But they couldn't discern the signs of the times because they really didn't want to. They didn't want to put the effort in to really see what God's word said. They had the Old Testament available. These are the religious leaders that were talking to Christ. They knew the scriptures, and yet they didn't really want to believe them and believe that, in fact, Jesus Christ was standing in front of them. Now, why didn't they want to believe that? Well, they were jealous of him, and he also was correcting them. They did not want to be corrected. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to be told they were wrong. The Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, the full name of it is the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. You can get that for free. It's a great course, and it goes through your Bible and shows you so much of what the Bible has to say and how it relates to you in your life today. But the course says the religious leaders of Christ's day didn't understand the signs of the times. Yet they had been taught the Messiah was to come, for that very message was repeated in nearly every book of the Old Testament. In verse 3, Jesus showed them they could understand if they really wanted to. If they really wanted to, they could understand. They could have dug in to the Word of God, to the Old Testament that they had at the time. And then, of course, it would have taken faith. They would have had to believe the Word of God and walk by it. And that's a very hard thing for people to do. In verse 4, Jesus gave them an additional sign that he was Christ. They should have known, but he said, okay, I'll give you a sign. Verse 4, Christ said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed." So that was the sign that Christ gave them, to show that he was, in fact, Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God. They wanted a sign. They didn't need one. They could have certainly understood that he was Jesus Christ from those Old Testament prophecies. And that's why he told them. He said, well, you're a wicked and adulterous generation, because they didn't believe the word of God. They weren't walking by faith. They weren't believing the word of God. They kept saying, well, give us a different sign. Give us more signs. Prove it. Because they just had a heart of unbelief. Now, notice what this sign of Jonah is. This is in Matthew 12, verses 39 through 40. Matthew 12, verses 39 through 40. It says, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so here Christ prophesied that he would be resurrected after being dead for 3 days and three nights. And of course he was. He was. And that sign was fulfilled. And it was additional proof that in fact he was, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. Now, of course, in order to even believe that sign, people would have to believe that Jonah was in fact 3 nights and 3 days in the whale's belly, as Christ said. They'd have to believe that. And many people don't, but that's what Christ gave as a sign. He gave it because it happened. It happened to Jonah, and then, of course, he, Christ, was dead for 3 days and three nights and resurrected. You can study into Matthew 27 and 28 and see that the religious leaders did remember what Christ said. They did remember that he said he'd be resurrected after those 3 days and three nights, and so they went to set a guard at Christ's tomb so no one could take the body. So they weren't confused about what Christ said or what he meant. They understood what he was saying, but they still wanted to not believe him. They wanted to make sure that other people didn't believe him as well. But they weren't confused by what he meant because, of course, they went and put a guard there to try to make sure that, as they said, well, some of his followers will come, they'll take the body, and then they'll try to fulfill that sign. They disbelieved him, but they understood what he was talking about. Matthew 28 and verse 6 shows that Christ was resurrected, of course. And they could put as many guards there as they wanted to, and it wouldn't make any difference. God's will was going to be fulfilled. The correspondence course says two women came to see the tomb where Christ had been laid, and when they arrived, they found it empty. They were told that Christ had risen, as he said, after 3 days and three nights. The sign had come to pass. Jesus proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that he was the prophesied Messiah and Savior of mankind. So that sign came to pass. He proved it. He proved it. And so, okay, the fact that Christ was resurrected and that sign came to pass that he gave, the sign of the prophet Jonah, do the religious leaders then believe him and say, wow, we were wrong. That sign that we asked for, we wanted proof, remember? He gave us that proof and it came to pass. We're going to follow what Christ said. We're going to change our ways. We're going to repent. Is that what they did? Did they begin to obey God? Did they change their ways? Well, we know that they did not. They did not. They rejected the signs that God gave them. They kept asking for signs, and they got a sign. But, of course, as Christ said, they were a wicked and an adulterous generation. They wanted a sign. The sign was given. The sign came to pass, and they still disbelieved. They still disbelieved. You know, there was a certain interest in the weather and the weather forecast, but they weren't interested in the truth of God. They weren't interested in the prophecies of God. They weren't interested in the signs of God. Sometimes people might say that, well, you know, where's the proof? Where are the signs? How do we know? And oftentimes there are many signs to see. There are many prophecies that have come to pass, and yet people still won't believe. You can read the history in Acts 6 through 7, where the deacon Stephen gave a powerful and corrective message about Israel's history up to the killing of Christ. some fascinating details, and really it's a great synopsis of history as well. And he was speaking in front of the religious leaders of the day. And this, of course, was just a short time after the crucifixion of Christ. And what happened in that history? Well, I think as you know, if you've looked at it, you know that Stephen was actually killed. The people and the religious leaders were so upset by the message that they stopped their ears and they thrust him out of the city and they killed him. They didn't disprove him. They didn't say that he was wrong. They just did not want to hear the message that he had to give. They just didn't want to hear it. They were a wicked and adulterous generation. They didn't want to hear the word of God. They wanted to act religious. Again, he was speaking in front of religious people. The people that came to Christ and asked him for a sign were the religious people. They wanted to be religious and appear religious, but they didn't want to listen to the word of God, and they didn't want to do it. They did not want to follow it, and they did not want to be corrected. They did not accept the signs Christ had given them. Many people today don't accept the signs that Christ gives. They don't accept the word of God. They deny it. The people of Christ's day, the religious leaders, they lied. And they had false accusations against God's people. You know, they fought against God's church as Christ had laid the foundation for it there. And it was raised up on Pentecost AD 31 when the Holy Spirit was given. And people fight. Religions fight against the truth of God. And there's plenty of evidence of where God is working. There's plenty of evidence of his prophecies coming to pass. There's plenty of evidence of who he is working through. And yet people oftentimes don't believe it and don't want to hear it and do not accept it. Now, one of the signs that Christ gave of his second coming was that of false prophets. People that talk about the person of Christ, but they don't follow his teachings. They talk about the person of Christ. They might talk about him as the Son of God, and they talk about him as a sacrifice, but they don't do what he commands. They don't actually follow what he taught. Notice Matthew 24, verses 4 through 5. Christ here in the Olivet prophecy, you might recall his disciples came to him when they were on the Mount of Olives, and he said, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Christ went to give them quite a few signs. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So many are going to come and say, Christ is Christ. Yes, he is Christ. He's the Son of God. He's a sacrifice. And they'll talk about that. And they'll use his name, but they won't do what he says. That's the deception. Christ's name is mentioned a lot, but people will not follow what he said to do. And how much do you hear people talk about the Olivet prophecy today? How much do you hear them talk about these signs that Christ gave that he said would lead right up to his second coming? You don't hear much about it. Occasionally, you might hear an odd interpretation somewhere, but who really talks realistically about these actual signs that Christ gave? And how close are we to a second coming anyway? Christ gave us signs to look for. We don't want to be like those people during Christ's first coming that didn't believe him, even though he gave them specific signs. We want to believe what Christ said. And added to the false prophets and false religion that Christ warned about, he talked about wars would erupt, along with diseases and natural disasters. There would be other problems, there would be other signs, other things to look for that indicate Jesus Christ is about to return to this earth. Notice verse 6 of Matthew 24. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." There would be wars, there would be rumors of wars escalating, drawing closer to the return of Christ, but still, more things would need to occur. Verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. These disasters that Christ is talking about, these signs, they would increase. They would escalate. You know, World War I came along. It was called the Great War. It was the war to end all wars. There would never be another war, right? That's what they said. World War II comes along. It was even more destructive. And people said, well, that's the war to end all wars. And they know that if another world war breaks out, man won't survive it because of the nuclear weapons. And so, but again, when you look around, do you see peace breaking out everywhere? You don't. You see a very unsteady stalemate with more weapons and more nations rising against other nations all of the time. It's just a matter of a war beginning, a global war. And it hasn't happened quite yet because God's given time for people to hear this message, to repent and to change. He'd like to spare the world from this, but if man doesn't heed, if they don't listen to the signs that Christ gave and turn to God, then these things have to happen before Christ returns. And you can see an increase in these things. So what do people say when a major disaster hits? That happens, you know, from time to time. There'll be a major disaster. Now, if God's ministry warn of more events of that kind leading up to the return of Christ, people often scoff at it. They deny it. They say, well, you know, there's been earthquakes before. There's been, you know, other problems before. There's been wars before. People scoff. They don't believe it. They don't believe the signs. But Christ said, these things are going to happen, and they're going to increase all the way up until his return. But yet people just don't believe it. They scoff at it. Even in the current turmoil in the United States, I mean, there is a fair bit recently. Do people look at it as a sign that we're getting closer to the return of Christ? Well, I haven't heard much about that. And if you do happen to hear a little bit about it, usually it's a strange interpretation that's not biblically based and gets ridiculed. But Christ gave some real signs to look for. We don't want to be in that same spirit of the people that spoke to Christ at his first coming, asked him for a sign, and then denied it. Christ gives us signs here. He gives us signs, and we have to pay attention to the signs that Christ has given to us. We have to pay attention to them and take them seriously. After all, they are the signs that Christ said would lead up to his second coming. And you can read all about those in Matthew 24. And of course, as you get down further in that chapter, you know, Christ said, look, if he didn't return, mankind would kill himself. There would be no flesh saved alive. That's how bad it would get. That's a sign. And we know we're in that time period because up until the end of World War II, mankind did not have the technology to annihilate himself. But now we do because of nuclear weapons. And Christ prophesied that 2,000 years ago. Do people believe those signs? Do we believe what Christ said? Or are we a wicked and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign, keeps asking for more signs, for more proof, and yet we don't believe it? We don't turn to God. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully you're not part of that. There are, of course, many that fall into that category, but we do need to be paying attention to these signs that Christ gave to us. Christ himself said that these events would occur, and you can read about those in Matthew 24. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, do we have the faith and humility to diligently look at the Word of God and heed the signs of the times? Do we have the faith and humility that's necessary to diligently look at the Word of God and heed the signs of the times? The media doesn't look at these things. The messages that you hear on the major networks and wherever you like to probably get your news, yeah, they don't talk about the signs of the times. They don't even think about them. They talk about everything else, but they don't talk about the signs of the times. The religious leaders of this world, false religion, it's all over. They talk about Christ. A lot is said about Christ, 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 but they don't do what he says. They don't heed the signs of the times. They don't pay attention to the signs of the times. They don't understand them. And even the things that they do understand that are pretty obvious to just a general reading, they still don't pay attention to that the way that they should. Christ said, he told us, take heed that no man deceive you. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 5. Take heed that no man deceive you. And then he goes on, he talks about false prophets, and he gives then the signs in addition to that that lead up to his return. So you need to make sure that you understand who's teaching about these signs that Christ gave, who's teaching about them, who's giving understanding about them, who's prophesying, and walking by faith in those prophecies, giving those prophecies, and looking toward the return of Jesus Christ. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.